Present.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Here.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Present.
Commissioner Sturtevant.
Here.
Commissioner Ward.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Could I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move approval of the agenda.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I could just interject.
Sure.
Item number three, we need to continue that. We've got some new issues that staff needs to do a little bit of work on, so we'd recommend you just continue that item to a non-specific date.
Okay. Very good.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Are we allowed to hear what those issues may be?
I don't know that it's pertinent to...
There's just some additional issues that staff needs to look into. It's nothing specific at this point, but there's been some issues raised by some other neighbors, and we just want to look into it a little further before we move it on.
Okay, thank you.
Just for clarification, this is item number three under the public hearings?
Yes. Okay. Could I have
approval for the agenda?
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, I didn't say what item three was, but that's the general plan amendment cycle 2009-1. That's the general plan amendment for master plan of overlay development requirements for the area surrounding the Walmart Annex project. So that will be continued tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
Move approval of the agenda.
Or... anyone wishing to comment on something under the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission but not on tonight's agenda has 3 minutes to do so. So if there's anyone who would like to speak, please approach the lectern and state your name. Seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Is there any Planning Commission business? Pardon? Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say I was at the ribbon cutting of the big lots that opened at the Mission Oaks Annex, and it's really exciting to see that parking lot full, or I guess that's what we would call it after seeing it empty for so long. But if you haven't been there in a while, there are a lot of places there, whether it's women's clothing, shoes, games, sporting goods, greeting cards. I mean, you can get so many things there, and it's really nice to see more and more things in Atascadero. I know all of us try to shop locally, and whether it's downtown, Mission Oaks, or the many other stores, there's probably a lot of things out there that maybe you haven't seen, and I just invite you to go do so if you haven't already.
Thank you. Any others? Okay. That we have a consent calendar item.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Which are the minutes?
Second.
Could I have a roll call, Suzanne, please? Commissioner Benz moved, and Commissioner Schmidt.
No.
Sturtevant. I'll get it tonight.
Thank you.
I've been running late all day, I'll tell you.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturtevant?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the Community Development Staff Report. Is there anything in? Okay.
Yeah, we don't have any staff reports, so we just move on to public hearings.
Okay, so now the public hearing, disclosure of any ex parte relative to the general plan amendment report, please.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, commissioners. This item before you is a general plan amendment and some associated applications for Stadium Park land acquisition for a portion of an adjacent parcel into Stadium Park. The project site is located in this sort of green and white checkered area here. This is the Renzaglia Hughes property, and they have offered in the city's negotiations to purchase this portion of property here, merge it as part of Stadium Park to provide better opportunities for access to Stadium Park. So as part of this application, it will be a lot line adjustment and general plan amendment and zone change. There's also a consistency determination required by state law that the Planning Commission has to recommend to the City Council that this is consistent with the general plan for all land acquisitions. So you'll be making that finding this evening. The lot line adjustment will merge that acquired piece of property into the Stadium Park parcel to make it part of that parcel. And then a general plan amendment and zone change to make the general plan designation recreation and the zoning designation recreation so that it does conform to the current Stadium Park zoning designation so we don't have two different zones on one parcel. A little bit of background on this particular piece of property. The current access to Stadium Park is off of, the main access is off of Capistrano. There is an existing easement about 10 feet within the area of this parcel on the property line, but that easement is actually on a very sloped portion of property and can't actually feasibly be used for access. So the current access road that's in there is not within the easement area, but it is within the area that we're looking to acquire to make sure that future access is secured to Stadium Park. The access area is flatter. It currently exists. And it does expand our opportunities for access. We still have to go over some state and county properties to get there, which we've been doing for quite some time. But this will help us sort of for the future. So the purchase agreement includes 0.52 acres of property from the Renzaglia Hughes property. The resulting residential property will be about 2.39 acres, which is well above the 1 acre minimum lot size for the residential zone. And it is a lot line adjustment, so it's not a subdivision. So that leg that you see as part of your exhibits will actually merge into the Stadium Park parcel. The Planning Commission does have some alternatives. These are a little bit different than the alternatives that you normally see based on the applications. You can find that the proposed property purchase is not consistent with the general plan and therefore would recommend denial of the proposed applications, or you can continue the item for additional information. So that concludes staff's presentation. We're available if you have any questions.
Okay. Since I have some background on this whole project from when I was on the Parks and Rec Commission about 3 years ago, I might add a little bit to that background before we get to any questions from staff. I worked for a year and a half with various groups, and Brady Cherry, the Community Services Director, and other members of the Parks and Rec Commission at the time. And the idea was to research and come up with a series of uses and conditions of use, and that for the use of, ultimate use of Stadium Park. One of the biggest issues was that there was no legal access, or if it would require a lot of grading to provide enough access on the easement that was owned, and it was felt that it was better, if we could possibly do something about it, was to use the existing drive that has been used historically now to for ingress and egress into Stadium Park. So there's been a lot of time, a lot of energy, and we got to the point where there was agreement on what could be done, how it could be used, and we got down to the point of doing a fire study and then couldn't get the money from the City Council to do the fire study. So there's been, and this series of meetings, and believe me, they were sometimes twice a month for a year and a half. So it was a little frustrating to get up to the end game and because of $10,000 we couldn't move forward. But there is
today, and I'm still a little bit unclear about why it's not a flag lot. It might be more of a popsicle in this case versus a flag, but it still has the narrow approach. And I'm not against the access or the park and the idea that's going on. More of a procedural concern. Part of these things, and I'm also wondering about the width of the area. Will it meet fire regulations for roads width, those type of things? Do we have enough? Will it work for us, or are we going to have to come back in the future?
I guess to start with your flag lot questions, typically when we have sort of a residential subdivision, we want to ensure that there's access provided to a rear parcel. So a lot of times we require a flag so that the rear parcel owns in fee a portion of property that they can legally take access on. Some cities just require easements. A lot of our older properties are done with easements, which grant them access rights. But our current code requires that the back property actually owns in fee to the street. We normally require those with subdivisions, with parcel maps. This is not a subdivision, and so those requirements aren't necessarily triggered. It's also really not a flag lot situation because Stadium Park does border Pinal Avenue, and so their primary access can be off of Pinal. They're already touching a street. And so we're not creating any landlocked parcels by this lot line adjustment. We're simply trying to acquire some land that we've historically used to allow us sort of better opportunities for access in the future. So it doesn't really qualify under our flag lot standards. Those aren't triggered, and so some of the standards to own and fee to, let's say, down to Valle wouldn't be triggered because it's not that traditional situation.
And then the width, does it meet our, I mean, I don't know, what is the narrowest point of the strip that's being purchased? Do we know how wide it is? Because typically a fire department, I mean, I haven't worked with the city fire department for a while, but Cal Fire requires a minimum of a 20-foot road with vegetation clearance and stuff along the side of it. Will we be able to meet our fire regulations for clearances from the edge of the road, vertically above the road, and so on?
We believe the narrowest portion is about 30 to 40 feet.
Okay.
So it would allow for
our
current fire department access standards.
Okay, thank you.
Existing property line to accommodate that roadway and some additional space for future access.
So it's that roadway, and then it's also an area that is the subject of the easement that you mentioned before?
The easement area is included within that acquisition area because the easement touches the property line. So we're acquiring from the property line over enough to provide us future access and incorporate that roadway.
Now, the easement extends over onto the Alps property, too. Is that right?
Yes, we believe so.
But we're not acquiring that here, right?
That's correct. We have no agreement with Alps to purchase property at this time.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to clarify in my own mind anyway is, will this complete the problems relating to access to Stadium Park via this entrance? I mean, upon acquiring this piece of property, will the city then be able to say we can provide access to the public to Stadium Park through this entrance?
This is a portion of the access, so we currently take additional access off of the county and state properties. Obviously, there's a County 41, the state right-of-way, Highway 41, and then there's that county where it kind of goes up to the old hospital, and we use a portion of that road. I'm not sure we've researched whether or not there are active easements and agreements with them to access over there, although we've historically used that as access, and they understand that we do use that.
So, in other words, in order to get from Capistrano into Stadium Park, it's necessary to use this property that we're talking about right here, and to go over some additional property that's owned by the state and the county?
Correct.
And are there any legal issues relating to going over those pieces of county and state property that have been unresolved?
Not that we know of at this time.
And then the last thing I wanted to ask about is this. Now, is this a done deal with the Renzalia Hughes property? I mean, this is otherwise the deal is done. It's just a matter of now getting this these adjustments made and.
Correct. Yeah, we've been in contact.
Feet of land that you're acquiring for access, and all of that land will be used for the access.
For the access or any sort of slopes or areas associated right. with it. So we have to start at a property line and come over because that's what a lot line adjustment does. And so there's probably a portion that is in slope that can't be used for access, but we have to start at that property line and then come over. And this is what we believe we will need for future access.
I would think that that 21,000 square feet of land would be adequate to put in a road that a fire truck could get through on, right?
Yeah, the current road, I think, almost meets the standards, and obviously there's some slope and topography issues out there, but this is definitely the best spot for an access road that would meet fire department and city standards.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes, thank you. I didn't see anywhere in this write-up where there was a mention of what this is going to cost the city. Has that been worked out? I'm assuming there was a willing seller here.
Yes, the city attorney and the Renzaglia's attorneys have been negotiating this, so there is an agreement for the purchase of this, and that's been worked out with the city council. So the city council has agreed to a purchase price.
Is that price confidential? Or?
I don't actually know the number, so I don't know if it's confidential. I just don't know what it is.
Okay. I mean, okay. That, to me, was the obvious question. What's it going to cost the city? But.
Oh, I'm sure City Council will take care of that. Are there any other questions? Okay, seeing none. Is there anyone here from Mr. Greening? Step forward.
Thank you. Good evening. I am Eric Greening. Happy Earth Day Eve. I noticed that normally a general plan amendment is accompanied by some sort of environmental determination, and there is none, and there's a statement that it's exempt because of a minor modification to land use limitations. But I'm hearing various plans for physical project for which this acquisition is taking place. I heard a 20-foot road with vegetation clearance. I don't know that anyone has actually discussed to where Escarpa meets Valle, but this is the very first I had heard or seen, and I don't think in any of those many, many, many meetings that Commissioner Jack talked about, or the previous set of meetings that developed the interim use policies for Stadium Park, I don't remember that there was ever one hint of a conversation of putting a road down from Pinal. So I guess my question is it legitimate to pass this general plan amendment without environmental review or without indicating very clearly the stage at which the environmental review would take place before a physical project actually is designed and happens? In spite of all the meetings we have had, we do not officially have a Stadium Park master plan. We had one set of meetings that produced interim use guidelines. Those are still in effect. We had another set of meetings that produced a consensus that could probably be whipped up into, but that had left some of these questions unanswered, such as where would the road going in be located? How big would it be necessary to be? What is the compromise between the ability to use the bowl for the kind of events we want to have up there versus keeping the rustic character, the green tunnel, and the feeling that this is not just any old place, but a very special place that you kind of have a sense of discovery going up into? And so at what stage, if not here, if not now, will environmental review take place? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Anyone else wishing to address the commission? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. Okay, so Mr. Greening has raised several issues. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Warren, under one of the items, a master plan, I know that that was part of the work that we were doing that would be part of a master plan at some future point in time after we did the fire study to see if we could take the next steps. There was a lot of discussion, and I believe there is an emergency exit that, so if there were anything like that to be done, I would think at that point in time it might an EIR.
Yeah, the reason this is exempt is because there is no physical construction planned at this point. We're only purchasing the property. There won't be any improvements made to anything in the park area until we have a master plan. The master plan, depending on what's planned there, may or may not require an environmental document. That'll depend as we go through that process. In terms of the issue of Pinal, there is no proposal to create any access. Staff was merely pointing out that this isn't a flag lot because it has frontage on an existing street, and that's the only reason we mentioned that.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion, or are we ready for a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Planning Commission adopt resolution PC 2009-0018, recommending that the City Council approve General Plan Amendment 2009-0024 between amending a portion of APN 029-105-028 from single-family residential Y to REC recreation consistent with a proposed lot line adjustment. Adopt resolution PC 2009-0018 recommending that City Council introduce an ordinance for first reading by title only to change the zoning designation of a portion of APN 029-105-028 from RSF-Y, residential single family Y, to L, recreation. Adopt resolution PC 2009-0015 finding that the purchase of a portion of the Rinzaglia Hughes property for inclusion as part of Stadium Park is consistent with the general plan as proposed for amendment. Adopt resolution PC 2009-0016 recommending that the City Council approve lot line adjustment 2009-0098 between the Rinzaglia Hughes property and Stadium Park. That's it.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Benz and a second by Commissioner Sturdivant. Any other discussion?
I'd like to just say that I thought staff's evaluation of the responses to our comments were on the point. And with respect to Mr. Greening's comments, there is no...
Next item on the agenda is the commissioner comments and reports. Is there anyone that has anything that they will wish to report on or comment on?
Yeah, I have a comment. I put up a challenge last meeting about gardening, and I got my stuff in the ground all anticipating the good weather, and lo and behold, we had some frost about a week ago, and so my tomato plants and some of my peppers got hit pretty hard, along with some of my grapes. Kind of set me back a little bit, but this warm weather's coming back, and I'm all excited about it, and so that's my report.
Well, just to give you an offset to that, I suspected we weren't through with the cold, and I put them in the shed, and they're still ready and willing.
And we just put ours in Saturday, so.
That almanac, huh? Were you reading?
Okay. Seeing no other comments or reports, we'll move on to item number four, which is the discussion of the Planning Commission meeting procedures. And as you recall, at the last meeting, subsequent to our training at the League of California Cities, one of the sessions that I attended was on how to run a meeting kind of thing. So there's a couple of comments I'd like to make. Number one, I think our meetings are fine. On our day-to-day meetings, I don't think anything needs to be changed. However, there are a couple of things that relate particularly to unusually large meetings, much like the city council experienced early on with the Walmart. And I think it would give us that we have the opportunity and time in that to discuss whether there is any way to deal and smooth out those kinds of meetings through. And I've got four items here. One of them would involve a cost, so obviously that's going to be deferred in the current climate, and that was consider incorporating a buzzer at the location at the lectern that would buzz when the red light, when the time was up, because a lot of time people, but it's something that we might have as an alternative way of handling a large crowd. And there's some consider the use of speaker slips for large meetings or known controversial, so that we can get a feel for the number of speakers, the different items that are going to be talked about, and maybe consolidate and work through them in a more orderly fashion. And then there were the other one that I was thinking of was consider the use of a maximum time level initially for the initial public input, and making sure that there's offsetting equal time, and then having a set period, and then continuing on with the Planning Commission's business, and at the conclusion of the normal business, go back and pick up any additional speakers that wanted to speak. So those were the items that I kind of wanted to bounce out, and if anyone else has any other items that they might want to discuss. So large meetings is the, I think, easy one, the alternating lectern. I don't know, Commissioner Moreno?
A question for you on that last point. If we have public comment on something that's on the agenda, and if we're saying, okay, cut it off at a certain point, come back to business, and then go back to public comment, you wouldn't be saying vote on something and go back to public comment. In what way would
there wouldn't be any votes? This is just items for discussion that are not on the agenda.
Okay, so you're just talking the beginning public comment,
right,
not specific to.
Exactly.
Okay.
That because obviously you can't do it the other way. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I meant to clarify. Commissioner Benz.
Yes, Andy. On the slips, I understand. I've been in cities where they use the slips, but what the slips do is they encourage everyone to make sure that they submit the slip, so that you got 150 people that want to speak, whereas the chairman can usually ask the crowd that if they don't have anything new to add from the previous speaker, if they would just... one of the things about the chair has to be able to adapt the meeting to the crowd that is in mm-hmm. attendance. And so, therefore, I think some of those things we should leave to the discretion of the chair, and let the chair be the one to decide on how long they're going to speak, whether we're going to set a time limit. Because not every meeting you want to treat the same way.
No, exactly.
So those are just my general comments. I could support any and every one of those issues if the rest of the commission decided that they wanted to implement those items. I don't have a problem with implementing them.
Another, I was at the supervisors' meeting recently. And this is the first time I've ever seen this done, and it's actually the first time where I've been a party to speaker slips. and I turned mine in late, and it was accepted. But then they did something unusual, and again, it was their Walmart domain, which was the Los Osos. And so there's been a lot of conversation and the rest of it on that. So they asked, they split it up and asked if there was anybody that could make their point within 1 minute, and then set those off in 2 minutes, and then anyone that wanted to take the full 3 minutes. I thought that that was rather unusual. I don't know. I know what they were trying to do was save time, but that was just another option or observation that I saw. Commissioner Sturdivant?
Just a question. I was wondering if you have the flexibility. Do these things have to be in place prior to meetings, or do you have the flexibility as a chair to implement anything at any time, depending on the circumstance?
Not anything.
Well, no, I mean flexibility. I'm saying,
Director Frace, would you like to clarify a couple of boundaries?
Well, I think everything you're talking about, with the exception of adding the buzzer, is within the chair's discretion.
Okay.
So if you wanted to require speaker slips one night and not do it another night, that's fine. I think it's good to have this conversation ahead of time, because you do want to be prepared if you hit a big meeting of what you may want to consider doing, and you could pick and choose, I think.
Okay.
Atmosphere that allows, you know, the public to participate and to keep everything moving in an orderly fashion, and I think that that lends to, you know, a mutual respect and sharing of information. So, you know, I could go either way on the speaker slips.
Okay. Commissioner Schmidt?
I agree with everything that's been said, and I have a dog collar, so I kind of give it a zap sometimes for the, that might work. joking aside, I'm more than willing to stay here and listen to people speak their piece about things, and whatever we choose to do as a commission, I want to make sure that people, you know, take their time, who come here, who, because it isn't easy for everyone to get here, to be able to have their full say when they do come. And I'm more than willing to sit here to the end of the night.
I accept that as a given, yes.
Yeah, and so I just want people to realize that we aren't trying to limit.
No, not at all. Not at all. All we're trying to do is smooth out the experience. Is that well enough said? Commissioner Ward?
Yeah, thank you. I had an experience where one of the council meetings, or a year or so ago, when the a lot of emotion over the Walmart issue, and one meeting was an absolute cattle rush to the lectern. A lot of people got pushed out of the way, and I heard a lot of comment afterwards. So at a subsequent meeting, I made a recommendation to the then mayor that it was fine to have two lecterns and two areas where there could be speakers, but it would be better organized if they could have one speaker, one lectern dedicated to those that were in favor of the issue and the other lectern for those that were opposed, and then they alternate back and forth, instead of hearing about 12 people all say the same thing. And it was my judgment that it would lead to a fairer meeting. And some of the senior citizens had just got elbowed out of the way and just said, to hell with it, and left. So I thought that was a good idea, but it got shot down because it didn't seem to be politically correct or something. But I would like to put that on the agenda, because I think that would be a marvelous way to control the meeting. And also, if people saw a lot of folks lining up that were taking their position, and they might...
And determined in advance, but rather that the chairman has discretion at the time of the meeting to adapt procedures appropriate for that meeting, although the other commissioners can, if they question any particular change or procedure that you impose, they can overrule you in a majority vote. That's my
Certainly.
Understanding of how it could take place. Now,
I'm obviously trying to
keep that from happening.
Yes. So given that that set of rules that apply to us, it does seem very useful for us to go through this as you're asking us to do now and get some understanding of what we all think about how potentially confusing or, let's say, disruptive meeting yes. needs to be controlled. And all of the things that you mentioned, I can say in the abstract, I would be receptive to, depending on the circumstances. And I would add in yet another point, and that is the question of public displays of support or opposition, whether applause or booing and things like that. I think that should be discouraged. And to me, the overriding consideration, well, obviously the most important thing is making sure that the public gets a chance to have its say, but not just repetitiously and not in an inappropriate manner. And balancing against that is the importance of conducting the city's business in a business-like way. Mm-hmm. And I think Atascadero has been hurt somewhat in recent years by the raucous displays that have occurred at different meetings, particularly in connection with the Walmart matter recently. And it has an impact because people in the area who are aware of what's taking place, they start to think that our political process is, is one of the gladiators in the arena rather than the public conducting its business. So to me, that's an important guiding point to try to have these meetings proceed in an orderly and business-like way so that we can all be proud to be guided by in doing this.
No, I completely agree. And Commissioner Benz, you have...
I would just like to reiterate that I think that all the issues that we discussed tonight could be exercised by the chair in controlling and conducting the meeting in an orderly fashion at any point in time that the chair wishes to inform the public of any changes. That's the chair's job. I mean, that's why we have a chair. And I would like to think that each chairperson would like to have the option of choosing how they would like to run each and every one of their meetings. Now, when it comes to whether you're going to give 3 minutes or 5 minutes, I think city council set the rule that it's had 3 minutes, and we accept that. We live with it. And then it's up to the chair to remind the public that we have a number of people that are wishing to speak and that every person is limited to 3 minutes. And so the chair needs to reiterate that to people that aren't willingly complying with that request. So I think that everything that was said tonight is within your purview of the meeting to decide whether or not you're going to change a rule here or there or ask the public to change their manner in which they're making their presentations. And I think you would have full support of this commission as long as it's not taking away from the people's right to be heard.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Moreno?
If I could just make a recommendation for the chair as something to consider, when we do have those types of large and disruptive and potentially contentious meetings, that it be that we make it really clear to the public what the issue is that we're talking about, because oftentimes I've seen at many council meetings in the past where a lot of extraneous issues start coming up and it takes away from the actual issue that's being discussed, and then that further inflames people and we've gotten off the mark. So just as a recommendation, if we're talking about this, is to make clear what the issue is before us and that comment sticks to that issue.
That I've been in one or two of those meetings. I've got another question I'd like to ask. What would be your thoughts, because those people that continually come to the meetings, you know, it's a matter of fact, they know the process, they know the precept of something of that nature. And I was thinking, you know, what constitutes a public notification, when written materials are accepted. I know some places they require that the written materials be submitted to the commission before the night of the meeting, so the commissioners have an opportunity to review that material and give it due consideration in their deliberations. Presentation and speakers, the guidelines, the times, things of this nature, and the orderly flow, and then what the commission is going, what they can expect the commission to do. And this would be just a generic type of thing on a website that people could be referred to. And it would put another foot forward, I think, of our trying to serve the community by providing them better information on what to expect at a public meeting and what not to expect.
I'm thinking that even photocopies of that at meetings wouldn't be a huge expense, so that there could be a stack of those that can keep being reused each time. They're not date sensitive. And so when people are new, you know, that example that we brought back from Anaheim would be very clear. If you're new, you'd pick that up and be interested in it. If not, you know, there's plenty of copies for the next time. So I think that would be a pretty minimal expense.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes, there's a full page, 8.5 by 11 sheet that's attached to each agenda about welcome to the Tascadero Planning Commission meeting.
Right.
And you could make any improvements to this particular sheet and use that as an attachment to the minutes or available to the public.
True.
And ask people to comply with the written report that each one of them would have in their...
As a matter of fact, Director Frey said that, corrected on the time limits. That's true. The only thing there is a lot of people don't. It's small print. They don't read it online. They don't know what it is, and identify it as a separate item there on the meeting stuff. And I apologize. That just dawned. I just realized that the printer's running out of ink.
Website, but also available on the agenda that the public uses to keep track of where we are on the meeting.
Well, that's true. That's true. Any other thoughts?
I have a comment on this, on these documents. As one who has drafted a lot of legal documents over the years, I can say that the document that appears attached to the agenda now, welcome to the Atascadero Planning Commission meeting, looks like the kind of thing, as lawyers, we draft figuring that nobody wants to read it. It's just there. Whereas the document, what to expect at a public meeting, looks like something written to be read. And that in itself is significant because, are we drafting this thing to try to encourage people to read it or just to cover ourselves? Mm-hmm. Because the one that's attached to the agenda looks like it's something to cover oneself. And this is user-friendly.
That was my total intent on this because I've talked to several people in conversations about why don't you come to any meetings. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going on, and I feel uncomfortable kind of thing. And so when I went to the meeting down there and got this, I brought it back and thought that maybe there was something, some validity to something like that.
This is not intimidating at all to look at. To the contrary, it's almost inviting to read.
Right. somebody
has to be invited.
I'm sorry, Warren. Everybody's got extra. Believe me.
So, Mr. Chair, staff-wise, you know, I can meet with the city clerk. this looks like a good recommendation, and we can kind of look at massaging, you know, our existing information and figure out how to distribute it and get it on the website. So I'll take this and put a little work into that.
Okay. I don't want to add any workload at all, Director Frase. So, you know, if we could do some massaging and give it to you, save time, or let you do it, whatever's your pleasure.
Well, I think if the commission wants to, you know, take this and mark it up and then...
If that would be acceptable to my fellow commissioners. Mm-hmm. Okay. Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes, I'm not sure whether we're done with that, but I didn't want to let this discussion of meeting procedures conclude without some reference to the fact that on the City Council's agenda next week, according to what I read just a few hours ago, is a recommendation by the staff to discontinue broadcasting, webcasting the Planning Commission meeting.
That's true.
And also to... I guess discontinue webcasting the City Council meetings and keeping them archived on the web. So if we, I want to just note that in case we have any views we want to express on that subject, it will be coming up, I guess, next week at the City Council meeting.
Yes. Yes. Commissioner Moreno?
Along the lines of the... Back to the notice, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be easier for Director Frase if maybe you were to take this, and if we have any specific comments, each of us could individually email them to you, because for him to get seven marked up copies might be a little more work than he bargained for initially.
Why don't you do that?
Okay. Well, let's not do that. We don't want to create a serial meeting. So why don't everybody
Is it a serial meeting, though, if we're not it's talking about something that we have before us as a commission, so talking about this.
Yeah, you can only communicate here. So you can go away and I'll think about this, but to come to any sort of conclusion, you need to do it back here. So don't email.
Not conclusions. Can we email to Chairperson Jack any idea? No. Okay.
I would recommend not.
Okay. Boy, that's a stiff. Okay, thanks.
Commissioner Schmidt.
I don't know where we're at right now. I do have kind of a procedural question. I thought when it came, we were discussing about item four tonight, and did Director Frase, didn't you say it was to be continued? Do we have to open that up to continue it, or how are we supposed to deal with that issue?
No, when you amended the agenda and continued the item, that was all you needed to do.
Through that item?
Yep.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or seeing none? Director Frase, do you have a report for us this evening?
Certainly. Your next meeting would be May 5th. We are in a pretty serious budget situation. We basically, for the next fiscal year, need to eliminate almost $3.5 million. We're going to be able to use $1 million in reserve to get that down to $2.5 million. Then we can... We have a number of cuts that we're prepared to make that will get us down to about $700,000, but there's still a remaining $700,000 gap. That is the issue that we're still trying to figure out on how to close that. We are looking at, the city manager announced that some sort of layoff program is imminent at this point, so that is one of the things that will be discussed. That's why things like discontinuing the Planning Commission, taping and broadcasting. We all understand the value of it, but we're literally cutting a lot of things trying to get that $700,000 taken care of. So that is what's going on. That will be a major focus of the next City Council meeting as well. And I think that's my report.
Thank you very much, Warren. Not good news, but it's real news. With that, we're adjourned.